Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure, as always. It's good to continue to be with you. And you're going to be glad you did, because we got our good buddy Bill Brandt back in the building with us, so to speak. Bill is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, President and Chief Executive Officer of Development Specialists Incorporated, which is an organization that helps companies work out of their problems. And I bet he's got a lot of business these days. We'll ask him about that in a little bit. But he's also involved in politics to some degree. And we're going to get him to talk a little bit about presidential politics, and we'll do that first. Bill Brandt, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning, Jim. Glad to be here, as always.
It's good to have you back, as always. Okay, let's talk a little politics first. Now, as my audience may remember, you were... You have been involved in presidential politics on the Democrat side of the Democrat persuasion, and you have been a supporter and at least sometime advisor, I think, to the Clinton campaign.
Well, that's true. This was my seventh presidential campaign, going way back into the 70s. So I'm long skilled at presidential politics, and over the last decade or so, I have cast my lot with the Clintons. That's true.
Yep. And so of course, in the last week, Senator Clinton has now I'm glad you're here, because I wanted to ask somebody this question, and she said she was suspending her campaign.
Yes.
Now that's and all weekend I listened to all the talk shows about this on television. I didn't hear anybody take up that word, and I thought it was an important word for her to say, "I'm suspending my campaign." Am I right about that?
Yes, you are. It's not uncommon. In the technical sense, it is not uncommon for people to suspend their campaign, which means she actually goes to the convention with all of her delegates still that are all still pledged to her, unreleased and still able to vote for her.
Right.
It also means, if you think about it, Jim, in a more practical sense, that she can engage in more fundraising for the campaign to retire the debt. And,
right.
And she's able to do a number of other things. It's more technical than it is aspirational, if you will. And by that,
okay.
I mean, the FEC has a bunch of rules, and if you look very carefully, you'll see that many others over the years have also suspended their campaign and taken great pains to do so.
So this wasn't her sticking her finger in his eye one more time. This was just this was a technical thing. That way, and Obama, I understand Obama cannot give her money from his campaign, but he can encourage others to contribute to her campaign, right?
It's a little bit of both. He can't. The FEC prohibits him just unloading a bunch of cash from his well-heeled campaign to her. He can do joint fundraisers with her, and so he could go out, and in an effort to win over her supporters, he could be the guest of honor, for example, at a fundraiser ostensibly raised money for the Clinton for President campaign.
Which
she
helps her.
She also has an ability to transfer the money. When you get really technical, she could transfer a lot of the presidential money to her Senate reelection campaign, her next reelection campaign.
Right.
And then she could do a few things to retire the debt. There are a number of things she can do, but but I don't argue with you, Jim, that she may have ended this, or at least suspended this, at a point where she has more debt than most other presidential candidates in history.
Right. So, and of course, the other thing from a pragmatic standpoint, I mean, if another Jeremiah Wright situation pops up, she could always resurrect her campaign and run for and be nominated, right?
True. I mean, I think that if something popped up, and I don't want to be careful about that because
exactly.
I think
You
know, I mean, I reminded of what
we're not trying to be controversial here or anything.
No, no.
We're just talking about what reality.
We need to get some ratings. We're trying to be controversial, but I reminded of her faux pas. I think it was in South Dakota.
Oh yeah.
Things do happen in presidential races, and it would be inconceivable to me, and I think most other people, that should something happen to the presumptive nominee, she wouldn't be next in line to be turned to simply because Because it was basically a 51-49% kind of vote split. It was as close as it can get. And when I say something happens, I don't mean something untoward. I just mean some other thing in the vetting process. I mean, we've all remembered Eagleton.
Absolutely. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, the thing is I don't think we've ever had a presidential nominee, at least not in my lifetime, that we knew less about.
It's probably your lifetime. And we're talking now U.S. Grant, right? Because Grant had just come off the battlefield.
Exactly, yeah.
That's true to a point and not true to a point. I think Jimmy Carter, for many people.
Yeah, but he'd been a governor. He'd been in the politics a long time. And you're right. I mean, the country didn't know him, but people who knew him.
He was a one-term governor from Georgia, and Obama has been in the state.
Bill. That's not a good example to use for.
I was going to recall. That's an I had a few others, but of
that's
course,
an unfortunate choice of example there. Stand by, quick break. 20 till the hour. We're going to talk just a little more politics, and then we're going to talk about some global business with our good buddy Bill Brandt. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blasingame. Little Dire Straits coming back there, bringing us back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out using their advantage. Let's get back into our discussion with our good friend Bill Brandt. Bill, as I said earlier, you were a Clinton supporter. You worked with her.
I don't think you have to put that in the past tense. I am a Clinton supporter.
Well, exactly. No, I know you are. I meant during the campaign.
I'm also, on occasion, an athletic supporter, as you know. You pointed that out to me.
Let's talk about, tell us when you think, in the end of December, she was measuring the drapes in the White House. And at what moment, tell us what went wrong. Give us a quick thumbnail about what went wrong.
You know, it's funny because a couple of years ago, many of your listeners will recall a House candidate by the name of Tammy Duckworth, who was the Iraqi war veteran.
Right, right.
Who lost both of her legs when her helicopter was shot down. She ran for Congress in Illinois. and Hillary Clinton, among others, asked me to help chair and run that campaign, and I did. And it was a wonderful campaign, but it was designed to, in many ways, to kind of as a warm-up for the presidential campaign. At least I viewed it that way. And then when I came back a year later, as Hillary started running, I realized that I saw many, many old friends from the 1990s who had done two presidential campaigns, but I did not see a lot of people who had real-time experience in campaigns in this century.
Ah.
And as dumb as that sounds, the world has changed since 1996.
Yes.
The Internet
yep.
was such a huge and evolving component, as I watched in 2006 in the Duckworth election, that I did not see that interestingly enough, the fellow who ran the Duckworth campaign with me was a guy named Axelrod.
Yeah.
And he went on to do Barack's campaign.
Yep. And so are you saying... Go ahead.
You can see the difference. I mean,
are you saying that she had a 20th century organization, more of a 20th century organization than Obama did?
There is a lesson here for your listeners, and that is her organization would have creamed anybody in the last century. His organization was built for this century.
I just got through saying one of the things that I tell people, and this may be the most important thing I tell small business owners, it's okay to fall in love with what you do. If you sell shoestrings, people are still buying shoestrings. It's okay to fall in love with what you do, but do not fall in love with how you do it.
No, you've got to. Nothing is so permanent as change. And you just have to know that this is going to happen. I walked in and I talked about this with the Clinton people, and I had a couple of people tell me, you don't understand, son, we're veterans of two successful presidential campaigns. And I said, the moment I heard that, I realized we're going to have a problem here.
We're history, yeah.
Because that was the last one of those was 12 years ago, and the world has just changed.
Right. So, all right, do you have anything else on politics you want to talk about? Anything in particular? What do you think? What are her chances of being vice president?
None.
Zero.
I'd be very kind. I think it would be very nice of him to ask her, but I think he would probably only ask her, and I think this is the way to do it, in a bit of a kabuki dance where he already knew she was going to turn it down. But he needs You know, I've been doing this a long time, Jim. The country is about to embark on a new endeavor, thinking about whether an African-American can be president. I well think it can. I think the country's ready. But, you know, that's a lot of change to swallow in one ticket if it's both an African-American and a woman.
Right.
I think at some point both campaigns now are going to look to be a bit more traditional. Because a lot of voters are going to want to see some anchor in something they're comfortable with or they know.
Yeah, they're ready to put on some kind of at least some kind of an old shoe, even if it's only 2 years old. I agree with you.
You know, an old shoe kind of hits close to home for both you and I. I was thinking a comfortable shoe.
I got you.
I think a Sam Nunn or somebody like that for Barack's campaign would be probably
Are you serious?
Well in order. Very serious.
Are you serious? Sam Nunn for vice president?
Well, it's better than Blasingame. So
I agree with that.
Just a bit.
But he's older than I am. As hard as that is to believe.
Well, but age isn't a factor for him. Remember.
You know what? That would be a good thing for the Republicans. I think.
I think that the campaign on the Democratic side probably needs a vice president who has some substantial experience in foreign affairs and military.
Yeah, he's going to need that kind of gravitas. No question about it.
And similarly, for McCain. Business, and speaking of your listeners. And Bloomberg would be an ideal vice president for McCain in terms of what he wants to accomplish.
Yeah.
Or apart from that, and people look at me cross-eyed when I say it, Jeb Bush, who is probably the smartest.
That ain't going to happen.
As much as
he would be a good candidate, I mean, a good vice president, there's not going to be a Bush on that ticket, I can tell you that right now. Let's change the subject just a little bit. What are you seeing in the economy out there?
I think this is going to be as tough as it is now. It's probably going to be like this for at least 18 to 36 months. This is not a near term. You know, trend. There will be good signs, and some people already suggest we're near the bottom. I'm not sure about that, to be honest with you. We're floating somewhere around the bottom. We may not have hit it, but I think the recovery will take a long time, precisely because we're running such large deficits, because the trade imbalance is so substantial. And because the credit markets are going to take a while to recover from this,
they're still healing, aren't they?
Healing would.
They're not only going to have to recover for just right now. They're recovering to survive, but the next wave after they get survival behind them is going to be to reestablish their parameters for how to do business going forward.
All true. And I think what's going to happen is healing is probably an overly optimistic word at this point. They are trying to figure out what went wrong. They are going to be, as the markets always are, overly conservative when they finally start lending again, because they don't really understand. Oh, they do understand, but they're afraid of it. And so for the next, you know, 4 years or so, loans are going to be tough.
I know what went wrong, Bill, and it's what Charles McKay titled his book in 1848 with what went wrong. He called his book Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. That's what went wrong, Bill. Tim Till, just like the dot-com, just like the SNL, just like junk bonds, just like the Mississippi scheme, Tulipomania, and the South Sea Bubble. Tim Till, stay with us. We'll be right back. I feel nice. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Bill Brand is our guest. He's President and Chief Executive Officer of Development Specialists Incorporated. Bill, give us your website and tell us about your company.
The website is www.dsi, as in the initials, davidsamindiana.biz, B-I-Z. And our company, Jim, which has been around for now about 35 years, prides itself in helping businesses and other commercial enterprises in distress. We do restructurings, workouts, and all things along those lines, and offices in most major cities in the U.S., Europe, and China.
Has your business picked up with the current economy?
You know, our business is a lagging indicator of the economy. It always picks up after things have started to go bad and people are starting to, you know, a while into it, decide what they want to do. We're busier than we've been in a number of years, probably busiest we've been in a decade or more, and we foresee staying busy at this level in the current environment for at least another 3 to 4 years.
What do you think about what's your take on China these days?
I think China will be what everybody says. By the middle of this century, if not a bit sooner, it'll be the world's largest economy. But, you know, people look at the bigger and grandiose pronouncements about China and focus on it. I remind you that China right now is a net exporter of manufacturing jobs. If Adam Smith was right, that labor always seeks the lowest, you know, wage.
They've lost more manufacturing jobs, numbers and percentages, than any other country in the world.
And, well, of course, their base is so large to start with, it's big. But India, Malaysia, I mean, the country after country is experiencing a boom. The funny part was here, Jim, this is what we preached after World War II. We want to make the rest of the world like us. We want to give them a chance to compete.
Yep.
We want to watch their growth, and with it, democracy and middle-class growth for their citizens. And we are the victims of our own success, and we need to encourage this to continue. But we should have been a bit better off the block at adapting our own system to what we were fostering in other parts of the world. We're going to get left behind, and there's no reason for that, frankly. I mean, this is what we want. It's lending itself to world stability largely. This is a good thing.
Yeah. Well, and of course, you mentioned Adam Smith. I like to quote someone who came along about 50 years later, Frederick Bastiat, who said, "When goods cross borders, armies don't."
I
think what you just described is accruing a peace dividend. But one of the things that the United States needs to do, Bill, it seems to me, is there are plenty of things that are 21st century things that nobody on the planet can do better than we can, and we should claim those and make them our own, and that's how we can differentiate ourselves from everybody else this century. And one of those things is really valid and useful and productive alternative energy systems, and I'm not talking about corn.
No, I think corn, I'm afraid, as you are, that what the corn market, ethanol, and the rest of it has done is driven food prices up through the roof.
And it's created global problems. No, corn is not the answer, but there are other alternative energy solutions that people are working on right now in this country. We should become the energy development of the future for the 21st century. This country should own that, and we should be exporting those kinds of products, not the 20th century stuff.
What we've always relied on, Jim, when you come right down to it, and what people around the world love to come here for, is innovation.
Yep.
You know, whatever is new and bright and fast, it's always American, and it needs to be again. And that doesn't mean that once the innovation takes hold, it isn't exported someplace else. And, you know, for years our transistors were made better in Japan when we were kids with our transistor radios. But the ideas were here. And what I see lagging greatly is fostering the elementary research and development that
right.
we used to do that drove our product cycle and that drove our leadership in the world.
But, Bill, I don't think our government – we need the government to be a partner in this. And I think our government is not a partner in what I'm talking about, you and I are talking about right now.
No, sadly.
And it's not Republican or Democrat. It's both – it's the government, period.
No, I mean, it's the president. The president doesn't do this. It's also Congress. Both sides, for the last 20 years, have looked askance at R&D. You know, the moonshots in the 60s, as you know, gave us the progeny for computers, for
right.
handheld calculators. None of that is happening right now, and that's a great waste of American talent.
How do we get that kind of leadership in Washington?
I don't know that you get that kind of leadership in Washington. I'm a strong believer that Washington understands that the American economy is due to entrepreneurs, and the best thing
right.
that they can do for entrepreneurs is get out of their way.
Exactly.
And I think a significant amount of the American economy now is highly overregulated. You know, there's 9 forms for doing the most simple thing, and the fact of the matter is, and a lot of reasons for government agencies to say you can't do something. It needs to be the other way around.
As we move into this presidential election, I'm going to remind you that you said that, Bill, and I'm going to bring that up again as we start talking about specific campaigns. But I got to wrap it up for now. Bill, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Enjoy your company and your listeners immensely.
Thanks you very much, Bill Brandt, ladies and gentlemen. Brandt, and that's DSI.biz. That's his website. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.